At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
America's game. Eric Fanning. America's game. South Harmony. South America's game. This is America's game. Now, South Harmony's everything that changes. The change. That warp tool made you open your brain. Open your brain. Eric Fanning is here, so remember the name. Remember the name. Starting who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Top Harmony intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome into America's Game, episode number 91. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. And I am joined by Maddie Keeloom, as usual this week. Second week in a row for Maddie. And when you're listening to this, it's draft day, baby. It's finally fucking here.
Can't believe it. We're on the half yard line. I mean, we're hours away. Maybe you're popping this on just an hour before the NFL draft, so shout out to you. But yeah, I'm very, very, very excited to see where these damn players are going to land.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been talking about them since January, so it's like that. I feel like with fantasy, too, and how much we're invested in our friends and all that are invested into it now, it's like, man, it just gets more and hyped and more hyped and more hyped every year. It's like fucking WrestleMania, like all over. It's just crazy. You know. Yeah, it's just like just so much hype for it right now. Even the draft class, like, you know, there's a couple good players, but like most of the people are thinking, oh, like if Cam Ward was in last year, he'd be like quarterback 5, you know, all this stuff. So like there's, you know, the draft class might not seem as good, but I still think there's some really good players that are going to help your favorite NFL teams next year or help your fantasy teams. So yeah, I'm super excited to see where all these guys go, kind of get the rankings together, get all that together, and see where everything shakes out, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. So me and Maddie today, we're going to do a mock draft together. Maybe two rounds. We'll see how long we talk and all that. But we're going to try to do at least one round for sure, maybe a second round, and go through and make the picks how we think everything's going to happen. We're going to do some trades as well at some point. And that's kind of where I actually wanted to start off with you is some of the trade stuff that we're hearing and what you think is real, what you think is not real. So we'll start there. Like, I think the one that kind of surprised me, that there are some teams trying to trade up to 2 or 3 for Travis Hunter or something like that. McShay was reporting and a couple other people reported. What do you think of that? Do you think that's just a smoke screen? Do you think that's real?
I think it's real. Because usually, okay. I mean, I would guess at this point in time, this is the latest we've ever seen a draft start without a trade.
Right.
We're sitting here, and it's no first-round picks have been moved as of now. So I think something just must have changed. Maybe the Browns saw a trade package and said, okay, let me think on it, which made a bunch of teams in that probably, I give it top 12. I think Dallas is probably the lowest that – you know, Cleveland would be willing to go in a trade with the second overall pick. So I do think there's a little bit of steam, but I think a team is going to have to pay potentially quarterback prices for a wide receiver cornerback. And as special as Hunter is, I think it ends up just being Cleveland Browns. But, you know, we'll see how this mock goes. We'll see what we have here today. We'll see if we get some accurate picks going.
Right. I think it's probably going to be Travis Hunter there to the Browns. I don't see them trading him. The way that they've talked about him, like, you know, Andrew Berry's talked about, oh, he's Otani of football and stuff like that. Like, if you're going to trade that guy away, you better be getting like 3 first round picks out of it. And I don't see anybody trading 3 first round picks for Travis Hunter. So I think a lot of that is just what I like to call the jerk off hand motion. It's just fucking bullshit. And I don't see that really happening here at all. I also want to pull up some draft odds too, while we're going at it. I did put some bets in, but I kind of want to get the updated as of right now draft odds for some of these picks. So like, right now, the favorite at number 3 is Abdul Carter. The favorite at 4 is Will Campbell to the Patriots. The favorite at 5 now, like I said a couple weeks ago, is Ashton Jeanty to the Jags. And then still the favorite at 6 is tied now with Ashton Jeanty and Armin Membo. And then pick 7 is Membo there too to the Jets. Tyler Warren is the next favorite. Number 8 is Jalen Walker and Mykal Williams to the Panthers. Number 9, Mykal Williams and Calvin Banks. Number 10, Tyler Warren and Ashton Jeanty are the favorites there. So a lot of things to kind of discuss there and go over as we go along here. Some other trades that I've heard. I've heard that there's some crazy one about the Broncos wanting to move up to like the top 5 to maybe trade for Ashton Jeanty. Like, I think if that is going to happen, you're giving up an extra first round pick for a running back.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that happening. Like, I don't think Sean Payton is making that move to trade multiple picks, including a first next year, just to move up to get a running back. Do you see that happening?
I don't see that happening. But I did do some research on this because I was, you know, as I'm putting on my mock, you can get my 5th and final NFL mock on southonfff.com right now.
Okay.
Because I've just been so good at something to draft.
Good.
And so as I'm doing this research here to see what it would cost to move up, I did pick 8. It would cost them the 1st this year, the 2nd this year, and the 2nd next year. That's a ton of draft capital to move up to get Jeanty.
Yeah, that would be crazy to move up that far for a running back, man. Like, I just couldn't do it personally. I've heard maybe the Bears moving up from 10 to 4 with your Patriots. Have you heard that one too?
I have heard that one. I think there's some legs to that one. It makes sense for both clubs. And at this point, with it seeming like the Jaguars are honing in on Jeanty, the Patriots potentially have that golden ticket for the Bears, and the Bears have 2 second-round picks.
Right. I mean, I think they just have to give up one of them, not both of them, and they'd still keep a second for themselves. Yeah, so that's still crazy to me to, like, move up for a running back. Like, all we've heard for the last 3-4 years, you don't take a running back in the first round, and now all of a sudden now we're trading multiple picks to go up and move up and get one. Like, it's just crazy to me. I personally don't see it happening, but you know, crazier shit has happened.
Yeah. NFL's a copycat league, and they all saw Howie Roseman win a Super Bowl because of a little Saquon Barkley signing. I think they might be a little running back drunk right now.
Yeah. I've also heard Dallas looking to move up. They might be the team that's trying to move up for Travis Hunter.
Yep.
I've heard that from McShay's show this morning when I was driving around. You know, could the Jaguars be the team that is calling Cleveland to move up for Travis Hunter as well? Like, they need a splash player on offense. Just basically another guy to sell some jerseys, put some asses in seats. And, you know, Travis Hunter would definitely do that, getting him to Jacksonville. But, yeah, so some wild, crazy trade rumors going out there for sure. Did you hear any other ones that I haven't mentioned yet?
No, the only one that I have heard, and it's probably one that you've heard as well, is the Giants moving back in around 1 for Jackson Dart, because, you know, they seems like Daboll wants Dart, seems like they want a quarterback, but it doesn't seem like they will go with a quarterback at 3 with Abdul Carter, the blue chipper, being there. So I think they could trade back in around 1.
Yeah, the rumor today is that Brian Daboll is the one who really wants Jackson Dart. So that could be the team that moves up for Jackson Dart. I've heard a lot of Jalen Milroe and Tyler Shuck probably won't go in the first round, but day two, they're probably like the first five picks off the board, and Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe. I still think there's a chance Jalen Milroe could go in the first round if somebody wants that fifth-year option on that guy. So I think that's still a possibility. And then we haven't even mentioned Shador yet. Like, there's a real possibility he just falls out of round one completely. And I mean, I'm not going to put it at over 50%, but I think it's like at least a 30% chance.
It's a lot higher than it was a couple weeks ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, like this two to the Browns bullshit is dead. That ain't happening.
I think three
or
to
three to the Giants
is dead too.
Yeah, especially if Brian Daboll really likes Jackson Dart over him too. So I just don't think that's going to happen. I still think if Pittsburgh has talked about moving back, they're not a team that's going to move up. But if Pittsburgh is a team that just sits where they're at or maybe moves back a few picks and picks up extra capital, I think that's probably the most likely Shador landing spot right now. I could see, like, I mean, I think they should probably go for a pick this year that should really help them because of Matt Stafford. But I could see, you know, Sean McVay wanting this quarterback that could be the backup and the starter for the future for them. Like, if he really likes Shador Sanders or Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart or whoever too, I think the Rams could be a spot that could surprise some people at the end of the first round. You know, trying to think of any other teams back there. Most of those teams have their quarterback situation set up, but it would be like the Browns coming back up, the Giants coming up, maybe the Raiders coming up for somebody, the Saints coming up for somebody, the Jets maybe at the end of the first. So, yeah, there's a few teams that could come up for a quarterback, but they might just wait until round two to move up a little bit, a couple spots to do that.
For sure.
I think another team that I've heard, too, is really trying to trade down, and that's Carolina. And then when we get to our mock, I think I'm going to make that case. I think I have a team and a fit for both sides that would work there when we get to that point. So I think there is definitely Carolina is probably the team I would think most likely to trade down here. We could talk about the Patriots and Bears one, too. I just have a hard time feeling like trading up for a running back and giving up multiple picks, but we can kind of talk about that as we go. So, all right, we ready to get into it here?
Let's do it.
All right, start draft. Tennessee Titans on the clock here. I think this is obviously the no-brainer, Cam Ward. I think we don't even need a discussion on that, right?
No, we've talked about it enough. It's a lock. The only thing I will say, which is pretty cool, one day after last year's draft concluded, I put a $2 bet on Cam Ward going one overall. That's going to turn to 32 buckaroos.
Nice. Yeah, I have April 5th, I did Ashton Jeanty at 5 for plus 1,600. Nice. I put 15 on it to win 255.
Pretty sweet.
And then another one that we can get to. Oh, well, I'll just mention it when we get to it. But, yeah, I have another one that I think could hit, too. Number two, Cleveland Browns. I'm not really buying any of the trade thing. I think they're on Travis Hunter, and it sounds like everyone in the league believes it's going to be Travis Hunter as well. Do you think there's a team that would come up all the way and give up a ton of picks to Cleveland to get Travis Hunter, or do you think Travis Hunter should be the pick here?
I think that Travis Hunter is going to be the pick here. He really solves two of their major problems.
Right, yeah. Putting asses in seats and a wide receiver. Yeah, that's right. Their two major problems. all right, number three here, the New York Giants. So they have Abdul Carter sitting right there for them. I don't think this is going to be the spot where they take a quarterback. Like, I heard something wild on McShay. Like, if they really like Jackson Dart that much, why don't you just take him at three? I just don't see that happening. Like, they would literally have to trade down. I think the more likely is they trade up from their 33 pick or 34, whatever it is, to move up for Jackson Dart into the first round with, like, maybe Minnesota, who's desperate to trade back. So that's kind of where I'm thinking on that. I think here they just take the best player on the board, Abdul Carter. And I've heard another thing mentioned that I thought was really smart is maybe if in this trade up with, let's say, Minnesota, they dabble Kayvon Thibodeau as well and trade him with the 34 pick to move up. And then Abdul Carter just basically takes his spot, which I think is a really good possibility.
Yeah, it's Abdul Carter's the pick here. It's really consensus at this point. It's the chalk pick, and it makes a ton of sense.
Yep. All right, number four, you're a New England Patriots. So the favorite right now, heavy favorite, is Will Campbell. But like you said, we've heard a couple different trade opportunities. And, you know, the one thing that I found funny, too, is you listen to a lot of these guys are like, oh, Will Campbell at four, that's way too high. But then I get to, like, pick 13, and there's going to be like three or four tackles gone by that pick.
Right.
So right. It's like you can't have it both ways. Like they're either not worth it or like, you know, the Patriots, like if they trade back to 10, I literally think they might have like the third choice of tackle there. Like they might not even have a, you know, choice at the top tackle on their board. Like they could be on their third tackle by that point. So what do you think here? Do you think the Patriots?
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth. Go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Patriots ultimately select Will Campbell here, or do you think they move back? What are your thoughts?
I think that there's a strong possibility that we see the Jinty trade, the Bears coming up from 10. It keeps them in the top 10 to get a lineman. They have that expendable second-round pick, and they need to get what Ben Johnson wants to make this thing work with Caleb and company. Okay. If you're open to it, I think this is a move worth making. If not, I think we could play it safe. I also want to bring this up. Peter Schrager, he drops such good nuggets. He's almost as plugged in as the best in the biz when it comes to talking to the people who make decisions. And he mentioned a story that has really stuck with me over the last 24, 36 hours. That Elliot Wolf is one of those guys who just never tells the truth about a pick. Mm-hmm. And will leak things to send people off their trail. And that was true last year because we thought it was May. But remember all the stuff about moving back, letting someone come up from McCarthy, someone come up from May and them taking McCarthy. There was all this stuff that was flying around right at the end. And I just happened to think, what if Will Campbell's not their guy? What if he's not their guy? I wouldn't take him here. He has been to Foxborough. Vrabel has sung his praises, mentioning he is a opening day left tackle. So I think right here, Eric, is either we move back with the Bears or we take Campbell and keep it chalked 1-4.
Ooh, man. What is your gut telling you as a Patriots fan? Because you're the Patriots fan. I'm going to let you make this decision.
My gut is telling me that they will do that trade. It's tough to get a feel for the Bears and their willingness to make that trade.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and make that trade then. So, obviously, pick 4 and pick 10 will be involved. I would assume they get pick 39 back. They're going to want the better of the second rounders back from the Bears between 39 and 41. Let's see. What else could they do here?
So there's a bit of a gap at 148 to 233 for the Bears. I think if they added that 171, I think that's a deal that can get done.
Okay, so they just add 171 back and call it a day.
Call it a day.
Okay, I'm good with that. So we'll go force this trade. We'll force it, and here we are. We are on the clock with the Chicago Bears at number 4 overall, and I believe it is for Ashton Jeanty, correct?
It would be for Ashton Jeanty. That's correct.
All right, so here we go. Number 4, Ashton Jeanty, and Eric is pissed because he just lost $255. All right, so here we go. Number 5 now. I have heard from McShay that it is not going to be Mason Graham. They are not going to take Mason Graham, and that they have kind of locked on to kind of an offensive player. And I've heard Tet McMillan is one of the favorites with Genty. Now that Will Campbell has fallen here, would they take a left tackle in Will Campbell or one of the other ones, Membo or Calvin Banks? What are your thoughts here with the Jags with Ashton Genty getting sniped ahead of them?
There was early smoke, and I think it made a ton of sense that Jalen Walker would be the pick here.
Okay.
The steam on Walker has got as high as, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, it seems to be that range. Now, there's a question you have to ask yourself, and this is kind of the fun part of mocking, is kind of predicting and trying to get in the heads of the team builders. If you're the Jags and you were locked in on Genty and you just got cucked like this, do you go with the safer pick in Walker, or do you get the other playmaker that they clearly deemed to be a difference maker if they had ever thought about taking Tet at 5? So do they go Walker or do they go Tet?
Ooh, I think personally it would be Jalen Walker then. I think that's the more premium spot, because I think one thing that I've kind of thought about is this new GM. He's the one that really was on Jared Verse last year for the Rams. Yep. And that's kind of how I'm thinking. He wants to build his teams. Like, he knows how important those elite pass rushers are. And maybe all this offensive talk is just kind of a smokescreen. So I could be okay with taking Jalen Walker here at 5 now that, you know, Genty's off the board. I just think taking Tet this high is way too high for me. Personally,
yeah, I completely agree. So I'm
because they could get Jaden Higgins in round two, and he's probably, you know, 90% of Tet McMillan.
Yeah, I really think that would be a much, much, much smarter play. I mean, even hell, you could even maybe go Elik Ayomanor in the third and get 60% of that. Right. You know, I think that's a possibility. So I'm good with the Walker pick here.
Okay. Jalen Walker, number 5 overall to Jacksonville. So that leads us to the Raiders. So one mention, I believe it was McShay's draft is Membo, that they would probably take Membo. They have Colton Miller, who has 1 year left on his deal at left tackle. The other two that I heard really strongly, and I've put money on it, was Jalen Walker at +800. I put some money on that to the Raiders, and that kind of fits like how Pete Carroll has liked his guys in the past, the Cliff Averills and stuff like that. Bruce Irvin, same type Bruce of player. And then the other one that I've heard McShay mention as well was Mykel Williams, and I got that at +5,000 to go to number 6, and that would be – I think that would be to win $400 if that hit. So hopefully that hits. So Mykel Williams is a possibility here. I think now that Mason Graham has fallen this far, we haven't really talked about Mason Graham falling to the Raiders. Could they pair him up with Christian Wilkins in the middle? Obviously, Will Campbell hasn't been talked about here. Could they just go Will Campbell instead of Membo? But it sounds like maybe they like Membo more, or do we just don't know because everyone has always mocked Campbell to 4? So what are your thoughts here?
I was always thinking Raiders go defense, but now with both McShay and Schrager's mock that have dropped Wednesday, both having offensive linemen, Raiders on McShay go Calvin Banks, Raiders go Amarn Membu in Schrager. So if that's the case, I don't think it has to be one of those two linemen. I think Campbell's in play because, like you said, I would imagine most teams believe he's going 4. But I think the Raiders should go line here. I think we should pencil in an offensive lineman for the Raiders. But you can make a case for all 3 of the linemen here. But for me, I think it comes down to this. Do they stick to their guns and the research they've done on Membu? Or are they okay maybe not having as much background on Campbell, but taking the higher prospect on probably everyone's draft board? So would you go Campbell or would you go Membu here?
Ooh, man, that one's tough. Because I'm looking at their depth chart right now. So they have Colton Miller playing the left side this year. That's locked in. Their left guard is Jordan Meredith. Never heard of him, to be honest with you. Yep. Right tackle is DJ Glaze, who they took last year in the third round at right tackle. So I'm sure that could be a upgraded spot there with Membo. But they could also take Campbell, play him at left guard for a year, and then kick him to left tackle if they don't re-sign Colton Miller. So they could have a pretty elite left side of their offensive line if they took Will Campbell. So I've always thought that Will Campbell was the better prospect of everybody there. So I would probably lean Will Campbell, but I'm open to Membo too, if you think Membo.
No, let's go Campbell.
Will Campbell. All right, so Will Campbell's going to go here, 6 to the Raiders. 7 for the Jets. I've heard Membo is very high on the board here, and I think Tyler Warren. I think those are probably or Colston Loveland too, if we think it's Colston Loveland. But I think those are probably the three guys for me. And we also have to throw Mason Graham in here too, because he hasn't gone yet.
So I think you're right. I think it's Warren, and I think it's Membo. I think those are our choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, like I said, Schrager has Warren. I've had Warren in multiple iterations of my mocks. And a few weeks ago, McShay talked about how excited the Jets were adding a guy like Warren. He has since changed his tune. Mm-hmm. But if you heard it then, that means it could have been true then. And if that gets confirmed by other people that are hearing certain things, I kind of think it's the Warren pick here. But, okay, you know, in a lot of mocks, Membu's probably gone. I would imagine that if he's gone, obviously they can't take him. So yeah, if Membu's gone, if Membu's there, do they go Membo? That's a good question. I think if you and I were the team builders, we would go Membo. So I'm okay going Membo, but my gut kind of says Warren.
Yeah. And we have our McShay has Jalen Walker going here to the Jets. And obviously we've already had Jalen Walker gone, so we can't go there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's tough. Either Tyler Warren or Membo. I mean, they have a big right tackle hole there for the Jets right now, because their right tackle currently is a Carter Warren, who I've also never heard of, a 2023 fourth round pick. But if they get Membo there, that completely locks in their tight ends there. Now, I think there's a possibility they could go tight end in the second round, where mm-hmm. they could get Elijah Arroyo or Mason Taylor possibly, and, you know, not be as far off, but the right tackle that they could get in round two is probably not as good as what a Membo would be. So I would lean personally Membo just based off of that.
Let's do it. Let's lock in some Membo. And now that there it is, we got tackles coming off the board, baby.
Which sets up perfectly for the trade that I want to do, because Carolina is the team looking to move down here. So could the Patriots move back up, or the Miami Dolphins from 13 move up, who've been looking to move up? I've heard Houston is looking to move up for a tackle, but I think the one that makes the most sense for me, and a team that does like to trade up a lot, and that's San Francisco at 11. They're looking at, oh, man, Campbell and Membo are off the board. I think they're looking at, man, we got to get Calvin Banks here right now, or we're kind of, you know, we might have to reach for Josh Simmons or somebody like that, which I heard Josh Simmons could go in the top 15, so it might not be that big of a reach. Who do you think would be a team that would want to trade up here with Carolina out of those ones I mentioned?
I think Houston, but they'd have to pay a lot more. Right. But I think the three strongest candidates, like you mentioned, Houston, 13 with the Dolphins and 11 with the Niners. The Niners, they have a lot of day three capital they could throw around, but uh-huh. they kind of need a lot of picks in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this though: I think if a team doesn't trade up here, they have a strong chance of getting completely pushed around, and we'll get to the reason why in a couple picks. But if you have a strong gut feeling, I kind of push through the Bears trade. I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of thought San Francisco makes the most sense as a team to trade up with Carolina here to get ahead of the Saints, to get ahead of the Bears, who were originally here at 10, mm-hmm. To get ahead of those teams who could take offensive linemen, because definitely Saints need one, definitely the Bears need one. Dallas could use one. Miami could trade up ahead of them too. So like those two teams behind them, I think San Francisco is the team that I think would look to trade up here with Carolina. And it's not that far of a move back for Carolina. They only move back 3 picks. They could still get a really solid player and get a little extra capital. So that's kind of what I've always thought.
Let's do it. Let's make
so
it happen.
So if we do that, okay, so we do 8 and 11. I would imagine they probably have to give up pick 43 and they get back 57 from the Panthers, and they probably got to do one more move here. So let's say pick 100 here and they get back 114 from Carolina. So it'd be 49ers giving up 11, 43, and 100, and the Panthers give up 8, 57, and 114. You think that's enough to get it done?
I think we're in the ballpark. My only hang up here is if, like, if the instead of the 57th pick, if they gave him the 74th, and instead of taking the 100th back, they took 227. You know, really push it back, because they have some gaps. Panthers have some gaps there at the end of their draft, maybe 160. So I think maybe we do the Niners get give up 11, 43, and then 160. Panthers give up 8, 74, 114.
Okay. I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Because the Panthers don't have their own second-round pick, so they don't even – they wouldn't really get an extra second-round pick just moving up, you know, 12 spots, 13 spots.
Yeah, and that would be the tax to go get the last tackle that they want.
That's the tax, so. Yeah. You got to pay the tax.
Okay, I'm good with that. So we'll force that trade in. 49ers are now on the clock here at pick 8, and I think this would be
– Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Calvin Banks from Texas.
1,000%. They've been linked to him. They've had him in for private workouts. I've mocked, you know, the Niners taking him at 11. They have to pay a little bit of the trolls toll to get up here and take him at 8.
Okay. Number 9 here. So we have the Saints. So there is Mason Graham is still sitting there. Walter Nolan's, who has been getting a little bit of buzz lately. All the tight ends are still here. Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. I think Loveland makes the most sense for the Saints just because that's kind of how the tight end that he's had with Dallas Goedert last year, he's had with Jake Ferguson, you know, the Chargers. I don't even remember who they had a couple years ago, but that could be a pick here for them is get one of these really good weapons. Or do they get Mason Graham, who would fit really good on their defensive line with Brian Breezy there at the other defensive tackle?
So part of my process, I'm sure as well as yours, is you got to listen to some of these guys that are uber plugged in and just kind of get a little feel for the patterns.
Yep.
Both Schrager and McShay in their latest mock have Mykal Williams. So that tells me defensive line. So I think it's Mykal, Walter Nolan, or Graham. And my gut kind of says at this point, I have to imagine that Graham is the one they never thought would fall. Here he is. So for me, it's between Graham and Mykal Williams. Okay. My gut telling me with Graham falling, I think it would be Graham.
Yeah, I think Graham there, because right now they signed or traded for Davin Gajow from the Patriots, and Brian Breezy, their first-round pick from 2023, is in the middle there. Their rush defensive ends, though, are Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson. So Chase Young Cameron Jordan are definitely older players. Cameron Jordan's definitely really, really old. Like, So I think Mykal could be the pick, or do they just really – upgrade there at defensive tackle with Mason Graham, but their defensive tackles aren't too terrible. They have Gajow, Breezy, Kalen Saunders, and Nathan Shepard, who've all played pretty well. So I would be open to Mykal Williams too if you think Mason Graham might slip a little bit.
Yeah, and of all the top five locks, and I'm using, you know, the bunny is here, the quotes, I think he could be one of the fallers, okay. You know, just because some people are a little bit iffy on his tape. I think he's a great player, but I think Mykel Williams, let's go with it, because you're right. They've been kind of beating around the bush about getting the Cam Jordan replacement. Mykel kind of fits that mold.
Yeah. One other thing I want to check. Okay, so Josh Simmons might be the next tackle off the board, which I think is interesting. All right, so let's go Mykel Williams here. We'll go to the edge spot, and we'll take Mykel Williams here for the Saints. All right, your Patriots are back on the clock here at number 10. Do they take Mason Graham, who they could have took at 4, and still trade back, and he's still sitting there? Or, obviously, offensive linemen they really need. Could Mike Vrabel have some intel from the Ohio State where he went to school and have some intel there on Josh Simmons maybe? Because a lot of people are saying if Josh Simmons was healthy and played all last season, he'd be a top 5 pick and probably the first tackle off the board.
Bingo. You nailed it. Yeah. I think this is the reason why I have such strong belief that a trade back with the Bears would work for the Patriots, because even if the quote-unquote doomsday scenario plays out where 3 tackles come off the board before pick 10, Vrabel has as much knowledge of Josh Simmons as anyone, and when you hear the talent evaluators talk about the player himself, they talk about him like a top 10 pick. So I think Josh Simmons would be the pick here. And, you know, with everyone off the board, I think it would just be that much easier for Vrabel to sell the rest of the executives, the rest of the decision makers, that they just may have got their left tackle for the franchise for the future.
All right. I'm good with it. So we'll take Josh Simmons here at 10 to the New England Patriots. 11 is up now. Panthers still have Mason Graham, surprisingly, still sitting on the board here for them. I've heard Jalen Walker is probably like one of the favorites here. Mykel Williams, both of those guys are gone. So do we go Mason Graham here? Do we go Walter Nolan? Do we take one of the tight ends here, Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland? I think those guys are in play too.
The Panthers have been so starved for defensive line help, and I think them trading back, they have their mind on Walter Nolan, who's probably going to be there at 11. But with Graham slipping this far, I think this is the dream scenario for the Panthers. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, the thought of him being there at 8 seemed like a pipe dream. Now they get an extra second-round pick, and they still get Graham. That feels like the Panthers organization would just do somersaults all night long. High fives galore.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we'll go Mason Graham here, number 11 to the Panthers. Number 12 is up, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. And I've heard Tet McMillan and Matthew Golden have been two of the favorites here, I believe. McShay has Tet McMillan, and I'm not sure what Schrager had off the top of my head.
Schrager is Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker. Okay, so I've heard that one mentioned possibly too. Interesting on both accounts. Yeah, because in Schrager's draft, he has both tight ends already gone. So right. We still have them both sitting there. I don't think Dallas would take the tight end here. Could they trade back a couple spots and the Colts move up? But I don't even know if the Colts really need to move up at this point, to be honest.
No, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd have to move up in our mock. Yeah. And I think it would be between the offensive players. I think it's Tet. I think it's Golden. And I think you still can't count out Amarian Hampton, because of the fact, you know, just the need for running back. And we've seen him mock there throughout the draft season from pretty high-profile mockers. So you have to keep that in mind. But the thing that it always comes back to me in my head, Stephen Jones, son of Jerry Jones, admitting that they need a, quote, explosive wide receiver too. Not an explosive player, not a good player to compliment CeeDee Lamb. He used the term explosive wide receiver too. Which means to me the only way they're getting this wide receiver is in the first round of the NFL draft. So I have it as Golden in my heart of hearts because I don't believe Tet is explosive. But clearly there are murmurs of Tet being the pick here because he continuously gets linked to the Cowboys. So if you want to break the tie, I think it's between Tet and Matthew Golden.
I have Matthew Golden as my highest receiver behind Travis Hunter. So if you want to go Golden, I'm good with Golden here. So
let's go with Golden. The picture came out, Jerry Jones and Golden. I mean, come on, let's not make it hard on ourselves.
Right. All right, so there we go. Matthew Golden, number 12, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 13, very interesting pick here with the Dolphins. I think Walter Nolan's a possibility. The offensive line has kind of gotten ransacked here. Could they reach for Gray Zabel here a little bit? Could they take Donovan Jackson, who could both play guard and tackle? Like, he's the guy who filled in for Josh Simmons last year at left tackle and was really damn good at it. So I think his stock is probably the highest riser for me, is Donovan Jackson over the last week or so, to where I think he's definitely a lock first rounder. And I think, like, you know, some of these desperate teams at the bottom, like Houston, the Chiefs, you know, any of these teams at the bottom here could be looking for offensive linemen, and he could be the ticket for them. I don't know if he goes this high, but what are your thoughts here for the Dolphins?
I like Booker. I like Donovan Jackson.
The only thing with Booker is that I've heard from Miami is they like their guards to pull. And this guy runs like a 5.08. He's not fucking pulling shit. The only thing he's pulling is his meat. That's about it.
He's doing the jerk-off hand motion.
Yeah, yes. So
let's rule him out.
I don't think he would be the pick here for how Miami likes to run their team.
Yeah, I'm on board with that 1,000%. So we can eliminate him. I think Donovan Jackson is a pretty interesting guy to put in the mold for this potential pick. What I can't get out of the back of my head, and maybe it's just me, it's just my speculation, it's really not surface. I haven't seen these players linked. If you were going to say to the Miami Dolphins organization a calendar year ago, you're going to trade away Jalen Ramsey, but you're going to select Will Johnson from Michigan at 13, I think a lot of the decision makers would be very pleased with that possibility, trading a big-bodied shutdown corner for another big-bodied shutdown corner. But based on the injury, based on the lack of connection, the lack of magnetism between the two, I think here we go with Nolan or we go with Donovan Jackson. So do they just say, screw it, we're going to reach on the offensive lineman, or do they take a guy who just continuously keeps getting more and more helium in Walter Nolan?
Oh, man, I kind of liked your Will Johnson point too, but I could definitely see Walter Nolan too, because they, you know, since losing Christian Wilkins, they really haven't had that interior pass rusher. Let me look up their depth chart here real quick just to make sure. So they play a 3-4. So, yeah, their rush ends are Zach Zeiler and Matt Dickerson, who I've never heard of. So they have a real problem on their defensive line. So I would be fine with Walter Nolan here after looking at that.
Let's do it.
All right, so we're going to go Walter Nolan here, number 13 to Miami. And I think – you know, they could be a team. Maybe they would call Carolina if Carolina even wanted more picks, and they could be the team that would move up for Mason Graham too. I could see that being a possibility. 14, the Colts. I think it's got to be one of the tight ends. This is probably the dream spot for Indy. They didn't have to trade up to get one of these tight ends, and they get their selection of whichever one they want.
I agree. I think it's Warren. It just seems like that's the player with the steam. That's the tight end the NFL seems to like more. If he's been mocked more, all this stuff. I'd go with Warren here.
All right, so we're going to go with Tyler Warren here. And, of course, my draft board locks up, and I think I'm going to have to restart all of that. So that's lovely. So you can go ahead and you can keep it on your end, and we'll keep it going. But number 15 here to the Falcons.
I've heard two names, Mike Green, Jihad Campbell. That's all I've really heard. What have you heard?
Yeah, I've heard the pass rushers like Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, if he fell that far, and then the guys that you mentioned as well. I just don't know about Mike Green with some of his off-field stuff. And I've seen a lot of these mock draft guys still put him pretty high. Like, he still goes around these picks. And I just don't think maybe it's not as big of a deal as what I've made it out to be, is kind of what I'm saying. So that's where I'm at with it. What about you? Who do you think would be their ultimate pick?
I think it's Campbell. I think it's a high character guy, linebacker. They need that type of player, and he's got some steam. Feels like a good fit for Atlanta.
Okay, I'm good with taking with Campbell there. If you want to do that, we can do that one.
Campbell, let's do it.
All right. All right, so now we're back here with the Arizona Cardinals at 16 after the Falcons took Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama. Gives them that stud side-to-side linebacker, which I think is a great pick for Atlanta. I think they could use pass rusher too, but some of these pass rushers have some questions, we'll say, some character questions, so I'm not too sure on them. Arizona, this is a very interesting pick here too with Arizona. I think Donovan Jackson could be in play here as well because they've taken 3 years in a row Ohio State players, Paris Campbell and Marvin Harrison Jr. So they have a lot of connections there, I would say, with Ohio State. I think Tet McMillan as another outside receiver or somebody that they could play in the slot occasionally too. I think that is a possibility. Is Will Johnson a possibility here at corner as well? They could use defensive line help. So any of these pass rushers, Mike Green, Azaraku, Kenneth Grant, James Pierce, any of those types of guys. I think Jahde Barron could be another one too because they kind of like corners with multiple places that they could play, and Jahde Barron could fit that role too. So who are you hearing for Arizona? Because honestly, I haven't heard too much on Arizona. We have Jahde Barron from Peter Schrager. And from McShay, we have Jahad Campbell going there.
I think it would be one of the cornerbacks. I think that they've been linked to the defensive side of the ball a lot more than offensive side. So I think that we go either Jahde Barron or Will Johnson. I think the point that you made regarding the versatility of Barron makes a lot of sense. I think some of the older regimes in Arizona love the big corners. You know, I remember Patrick Peterson being such a high draft pick. But I think in the new iteration of the decision makers in Arizona, I think Jahde Barron would be the pick.
Yeah, so I want to pull up Arizona's depth chart here too, because, I mean, their corners aren't terrible. They have Sean Murphy Bunting and Max Melton on their outside. Max Melton, who they drafted in the second round last year, and Garrett Williams in the slot, a third-round pick. So those guys aren't too terrible. They've actually been pretty decent at times here. Defensive line, they just signed Calais Campbell back. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson from the Browns, Darius Robinson, who they drafted in the first round last year. So they got their defensive line is pretty set. So I think, I think definitely a corner here is a possibility for them.
Yeah, it's Reckon Barron.
Okay, we'll go ahead. We'll select Jahde Barron here to the Cardinals. 17, the Bengals. I think they really need a pass rusher, something bad. So, yeah, but Colson Loveland is sitting here too. Is that too good to pass up? I don't know. I think they got to go defense, though. I think it's Mike Green or Azaraku or James Pierce, one of those guys.
I would go Mike Green. He's been mocked there a bunch over the last few weeks. And then right now, the two mocks that have just dropped, that he's there, he's linked to the Bengals. And we know that the Bengals don't give a shit about the off-the-field stuff. We'll sweep that right under their rug. So let's go Mike Green.
All right, Mike Green here to the Bengals at 17. 18 for the Seahawks. So I have had Gray Zabel, this being the landing spot here for Gray Zabel. They need help at center and guard. He can play any of the three spots there, and basically whichever spot that they think he fits the best, he can just plug in right there for them. I would still say maybe Tet McMillan could be a spot. Could Colson Loveland, an elite tight end, be a spot here as well? What are you thinking?
I think all of it makes a lot of sense. I think Tet being available here would maybe shock a few of these franchises a little bit. So I think we have to start putting him in the front of our minds here because I think this would be considered a slide for Tet McMillan. So we have to keep him on our radar. But I feel like Gray Zabel to the Seahawks is the worst kept secret in the first round of the NFL draft. So I think that's the pick.
Okay. We'll go Gray Zabel here to the Seahawks. I think a team that could really like Tet would be the Broncos, who are just a spot away from Tampa. Could we see just a one spot swap here and Broncos move up one spot, but they could also take Loveland too. I think the Chargers could come up here for Loveland as well.
I think that we will see some jockeying for position between the Broncos and Chargers, the divisional rivals. That was the thing I wanted to ask you is, now we're talking about a perfect trade back candidate with the Buccaneers for Tet McMillan, for Colston Loveland. What do you think here? I think it would be more Loveland. I mean, more McMillan would be the target here. And I don't know if the Broncos would move up one spot, because I think with the fact that they'd get the pick of the second running back, Tet McMillan or Colson Loveland, that notion is enough for them not to spend any extra draft capital they don't need to. But I do see one of these teams here in the back end of the first round thinking about potentially moving up for Tet to get in front of the Broncos, get in front of the Chargers. So in your mind, does, you know, the Rams, do they feel like they need to move up? Do the Texans, who have talked about moving up, do they move up for a wide receiver now that they've been picked dry of a lot of the linemen? In a sleeper pick here, division, a conference semi-rival, the Packers. Would the Packers potentially move up, because their own team, their own players have been pretty vocal about the importance of adding a potential wide receiver one, and it sounds like the NFL at least thinks that Tech can handle that role.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that would make the most sense here would be the Chargers for me to move up for Loveland, personally. I could definitely see Green Bay hopping up here for Tet, but they're also the team that never takes a wide receiver in round one.
And they never trade up.
And they never trade up either. So I think if I were to pick one, it would probably be the Chargers here for me, moving up to get Loveland or Tet, whichever one we think. But I think it would probably be Loveland just because of the Michigan connection and, you know, the Chargers really don't have a tight end. Yeah, they signed Tyler Conklin, but that's not stopping me from drafting Colson Loveland.
So let me ask you this. For the sake of the mock, should we just leave it as is? Because would the Broncos go with Loveland over Tet at this point? After signing Evan Engram, I think they would go Tet over Loveland.
Yeah, I think the Chargers, though, I think they might not know. To be honest,
they wouldn't know. They would have no idea.
Yeah. So I would think that they're going to try and jump a division foe regardless. And Tampa Bay is probably looking defense most likely. And I think they could move back a few spots and probably still get their guy. So I think it makes a ton of sense for the Chargers and Tampa Bay to make a deal here.
All right, let's lock it in. So 1922 is the base. And then maybe 86, and they give back 121. I think they have fair to give up a second, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. So let's go ahead and we'll do that. 22, 86 for 19 and 121. Forced trade. Boom. Now we have the Chargers on the clock, and I think we both agree Colson Loveland here.
That's right.
I mean, because it sounds like both of these tight ends could go top 10. And here we go. We got them at 14 and 19. So they've fallen a little bit. But that's also the position and just how a lot of the other things have gone, too, because we know that offensive linemen are going to go a lot higher than we expect, too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree.
Now the Broncos are on the clock here at 20. So they have their pick here of Tet McMillan, Amarian Hampton. Could they go Will Johnson to get another stud corner? Could they could use some defensive line help? Kenneth Grant is sitting there. I don't know if Kenneth Grant goes in the first round anymore, but yeah, a couple interesting picks here for Denver. Who would you see to be the pick here?
My gut has been saying it's a running back the entire time, but now after a few mocks have dropped and what I'm hearing on these draft streets, it sounds like a pass catcher may be another priority. Haven't seen Loveland linked to this, Egbuka linked here, but. And a lot of the times where those guys go to the Broncos, Tet's off the board. I think Tet uniquely is positioned to be a potential slant boy for Sean Payton and Bo Nix.
He loves the bigger receivers. Absolutely loves.
Absolutely loves them. And I think McMillan is more of that. He's a little bit more finesse than Courtland Sutton and obviously provides a hell of a lot more skill than anyone else that they have as a pass catcher, and that includes Marvin Mims, who could continue to be their gadget deep threat type player. I think Tet would be the pick here.
Yeah, I'm on board with you there. So let's go Tet here to the Denver Broncos at 20. That leads us to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We haven't even talked about another quarterback this entire time, and here we go. Pick 21. Could the Steelers be taking Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, maybe Jalen Milroe here? This is a team that always struggles for corners, and they play a lot of zone blitz. And Will Johnson is a very good zone corner. Could they go Will Johnson here? Could they take another receiver to play the slot, which would be Ebuka? That could be a spot that they could go to. Kenneth Grant, they always love those big nose tackles. That could be a pick here too. What are you thinking for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I find it very hard to believe for the team builders and the coaches of that team to look themselves in the mirror and say they want to win in 2025 and beyond and not take Shedeur Sanders if he falls to 21, having to use zero draft capital to move up, knowing that Mike Tomlin does like and has kind of had a good connection with Shedeur. Aaron, you know, Arthur Smith, I think he could conduct a solid offense using a player like Shedeur Sanders, who would have two menacing big receivers on the outside. I think it would be a bit crazy for them not to take Shedeur here, even with the falling potential continuously being linked with Shedeur. Oh, and one last thing I'll say about linking Shedeur here. I got thinking, you know, I was thinking about baseball. I'm a big baseball guy. And in the baseball draft, what ends up happening is players kind of bully themselves around the draft board, kind of being a dick. You know, they're the best player in the draft who's supposed to go 101. It starts being a dick, asking for more money. All of a sudden, the best player goes to a better landing spot at pick four.
Yeah.
What if Shedeur has just been making sure that he's enough of a thorn in the side of – not thorn in the side, that's too much. But we've heard these rumblings dating all the way back to the combine that teams just didn't leave with a wow factor when talking to Shedeur. What if a lot of that was his play to land in a spot like Pittsburgh? They still haven't moved anywhere closer to signing Aaron Rodgers or trading for Kirk Cousins or doing anything of the sort. They've also been linked to Jalen Milroe, who, again, I don't think that they'd go Milroe over Sanders, but I think that they've been doing some research on Milroe in case a quarterback run does occur. So for me, it's just Shedeur here at 21 makes so much sense with needing zero additional draft capital to make it happen.
I'm on board with it. So, yeah, let's go Shedeur Sanders to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. So I agree with you. 22 is Tampa Bay. They are on the clock now, and they could probably use anything on defense. Both safeties are still sitting here. Malachi Starks and Nick Iwamori. I think those are definitely possibilities here that I haven't seen. McShay had at 19, Tampa Bay taking Will Johnson. And Peter Schrager had Tet McMillan going there, which I didn't really agree with to begin with. But Will Johnson is sitting there, so that is a good possibility as well. They could use some corner help. Just kind of looking at Tampa Bay's depth chart real quick. So their outside corners right now are Jamal Dean and Zion McCollum. So they could definitely use an upgrade there on McCollum. Their safeties, they have Antoine Winfield and Christian Eisen. As well, their backups aren't that great. So I could see maybe a free safety next to Winfield Jr. Tyke Smith, who they drafted last year as their nickel, was really, really good for them. So, yeah, I think Will Johnson or maybe one of the safeties would probably be my pick here.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of rumblings that the safeties are going to fall really just due to the nature of the position, more so than the talent. So that's why I'm going to go Will Johnson. They brought him to Tampa. They've met with him a couple times. I think this would be a great scenario for them at 22.
Okay, I'm good with that. So we'll go Tampa Bay gets Will Johnson here from Michigan. That leaves us with the Green Bay Packers here. So they could go edge. They could go corner. We don't know Jair Alexander's situation. Could they go Emeka Buka here at wide receiver? You know, I've heard one guy I haven't mentioned too much that I've seen going higher is Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle from Oregon. That could be a possibility here. McShay has Maxwell Harrison going here. I think that would be a really good fit. And then Peter Schrager has Matthew Golden, who we already have gone off the board. Who have you heard anything on Green Bay here?
I've heard quite a bit of steam linking Egbuka here. So I'd be okay going with the Egbuka move. But I think the McShay pick makes a hell of a lot of sense, especially in the scenario we've played out, having the top two corners off the board. If you know, even if they didn't go Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron, and they were available, they could theoretically get Hairston later. Mm-hmm. I think they take Maxwell Hairston here, get the speedy cornerback, and allows them to be a little bit flexible with how they deal with Jair Alexander. Because once they showed last year that without him, their defense really, really struggled. And I think that they could get a defensive lineman in the second round that could really make a difference. And receiver, yeah, I still think this team needs an alpha, but I don't know if Ibuka's truly that alpha. I think he's just a different version of Jaden Reed, if that makes sense, in this scheme. And I don't think Burden's going to go in round one. I don't think he would go here because he's too gadgety. Again, another guy who gets end of rounds sounds like Jaden Reed. I think they go Maxwell Hairston.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that. I like Hairston a lot as a player, and I think he would fit in well here. So I'm going to go with your gut here. We'll go Maxwell Hairston to the Green Bay Packers. Now we get to Minnesota, who only have 4 picks in the entire draft. So they are desperate to trade down. So do we think Cleveland or the Giants move up for a quarterback here? You know, if Brian Daboll loves Jackson Dart this much, I think that would make the most sense for me. I think another thing I was thinking about while we were talking about Green Bay is, would Houston want to move up to Minnesota or Green Bay to make sure they get their offensive lineman they really want? Because somebody could also trade up to 24 and take an offensive lineman before Houston, and Houston would be really screwed. So that was another possibility that came to my mind. But I think this is definitely a trade-down spot for Minnesota, either completely out of the first round or maybe a few spots back. If, like, Washington wanted to come up for Ibuka, or the Buffalo wanted to come up for a receiver or somebody like that.
Yeah, I think they're trading back. And in this scenario, I think they're in a great position to make multiple moves to get out. The question then becomes, I think the Giants is the team more aggressive to trade up, because if you're the Browns and you're a Browns fan, you're in that area, you hear what's going on, wouldn't it make more sense for them to sit back and maybe take a Milroe, a developmental guy, knowing they have Flacco, they have Kenny Pickett, and then they still will have Deshaun Watson. Like, he is coming back next year in some capacity. So it sounds to me like they may not overexert themselves getting a quarterback unless it's Shador. I could see them getting a little crazy for Shador because you get the Boulder boys together. I think that could have some allure. I don't think they're the team to trade up. So now I think we're both on the same page that the Giants will move back into round one for Dart, and it starts here.
Okay.
Do you believe they'd have to go this high, though, is the question we have to answer.
That's a good question. I think there is a possibility that maybe Sean McVay looks at Dart as a guy that could be his next Matt Stafford. So I think that is a possibility that maybe they do look at. But none of these other teams really need a quarterback other than the Rams, like, that could take one. Like, you know, C.J. Stroud, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. None of those guys are taking quarterbacks. So I think the Rams would be the only one that they might be a little bit scared of.
And
or
I think
Cleveland
this is,
moving up too.
I think this is the move we make. I think this is the point where we have the Giants move up, if we both agree this is the move.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you look at the Rams. What would the Rams be most excited by? I would think it's a tackle. Those are gone. Then I think it would be a cornerback. Those are gone. Then it'd be probably a tight end. Those are gone. So to me, I think at this point, knowing all of their big board guys are coming off their big board, that is a position that team builders and decision makers would go, fuck it. Let's take Dart. Let's take the kid that we know will be the heir apparent to Stafford. And if Stafford's going to be a pain in the ass, someone will fucking take him off our hands.
Right, exactly.
So I think that this would be the spot. If we decide that Jackson Dart and the Giants are the marriage and the Giants are going to move up, this has to be the spot.
Okay. So right now I have it at 24 for 34, 65. And do they even have to give another pick back? Do you think they have to give up 105 too, and they get 139 back from Cleveland? I would think they would probably want 2 more picks in this draft for free personally, but, or do they get a 2026 pick back?
I would say, for the purposes of this exercise, we do 34 and 65 for 24.
Okay.
But I do agree with the Giants holding, you know, 154 and 246. Those are extra picks. I think the Vikings will try to get them to pay that tax. But I think just for since we're only doing the first round, we're just doing the immediate stuff.
Okay.
34-65 gets it done.
All right, so we'll just do that for now. So now the Giants are on the clock, and we both agree Jackson Dart then.
They moved up for Jackson Dart. We get our three quarterbacks in round one, which would be the over.
Yeah, which Eric would lose some more money on. Awesome.
These damn trades fucked you over. If we just decided before we hit the record button, no trades, you would have been cash balling right now. You probably would have won all three of the bets you've talked about.
Right, yeah. Hopefully they kick in. That would be nice. Now the Texans are up. And I think this could be the Donovan Jackson landing spot with the way things have happened so far. I also think Arontae Ursay could be a guy. Josh Connerly could be a guy here too. But I'm kind of leaning with the hype on Donovan Jackson. And also, we still haven't had Tyler Booker go yet either. I forgot about Booker. That could be like a tone setter. Fucking steamroller guard that the Texans would love too. So I think, yeah, either Booker or Donovan Jackson would be two guys I would probably consider here for the Texans.
So when you look at the depth chart of the Texans, they have made more of an effort to patch together the tackle positions than the interior. So I think they would go Donovan because he can fit so well there in the interior. And then if they lose, because the guys they brought in are not long time.
They brought in Trent Brown and Cam Robinson at tackle.
There it is. So I think you take in Jackson, and then you would have theoretically the swing guy, if you will.
Yeah, he could be the guard, and then I think probably Trent Brown and Cam Robinson and this Blake Fisher who they drafted last year, if one of them don't work out, Donovan Jackson has shown he can play tackle as well. So I think that makes sense to where they have multiple spots that they could use him at. Regardless. So yeah, I'm good with taking Donovan Jackson here for the Texans if you are.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So there we go. Donovan Jackson there, 25 to the Texans. 26, the Rams are up now. This could be, could this be a team that moves back a few spots? Could Washington want to get ahead of Baltimore and make sure the Rams don't take a receiver? The Bills, same thing. Could the Chiefs move up here and needing a tackle? Could they go get Ursary, or could they get Tyler Booker to play the other guard spot as a possibility too? So what would you think here?
I think that this would be a great spot for the Commanders to move up and get James Pierce, like a guy that could truly be a difference maker. But here's the question though, would the Rams move back with a conference team that they will be competing directly with for a third round pick? I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm gonna look at the Rams depth chart here and kind of see what they need in my eyes. So, their slot receiver, they could definitely go with Buka. He's definitely an upgrade over Tutu Atwell. So you'd have Davante Adams, Puka, and Buka. That would be really nice for them. Their defensive line is super solid. They could definitely use an inside linebacker, but I don't think there's one available here that I would even consider. All those guys are not worth it right here. They could always use corner help, like Akilah Witherspoon, Darius Williams, Quentin Lake as their nickelback. Those guys are okay. Their safeties are Cameron Kitchens, who they drafted in the third round last year, and Cam Curl. Those guys are solid, but Eagle Murray is a fucking freak at safety spot. So I think that could be a spot. Malachi Starks as well. I've always heard good things on Malachi Starks, but I think Ibuka or Starks are the ones that are speaking to me.
So I kind of feel I think positionally I'm with you. I think it's Ibuka. I think it's a safety. But I kind of think it's Ian Worry because they also could use a linebacker, and he's got that freakish size and speed that you could maybe use as a floater in the back end. So I would go Ian Worry if we go safety.
Okay. Or do you like Ibuka better, or do you like the safety better?
They're not getting a good receiver if they don't take Ibuka. But do they need to take one right now?
No, but if we do the combo picks, they don't have a second rounder. They would have to wait till the third round. So I would say there's a better chance of them getting a round three safety like Xavier Watts or Andrew Makuba. Kevin Winston, yeah, potentially there over, and you know, the receiver that they're going to get in round three. So maybe that leans us more towards Egbuka.
Let's do it. I like Egbuka because he does the things that we don't get fantasy points for that the Rams do like. They liked it when the Kuhn paid off.
You know, I've seen him. I know Josh Norris on Underdog has compared him to Robert Woods. Where did Robert Woods make us hay?
So Bobby Trees thrived with McShay. Let's do it.
Yep. All right. Baltimore's up. Oh, hey, look. There's two stud safeties sitting there for you if you wanted to go safety to pair up there with Kyle Williams. Well, so I don't think it would be Ewan Murray then, just because like Ewan Murray and Kyle Hamilton are the same fucking thing. But they could go there, or they could go Malachi Starks there. I think those are probably two of the better picks. I think Kenneth Grant, maybe, even though they don't really need the tackle, but the Michigan connection there. Mm-hmm. Could they also just go pass rusher because they need that? Azaraku, James Pierce. We haven't even did Shamar Stewart yet either. Shamar Stewart's a guy that could go really high.
We are in edge rusher bonanza. I mean, you could see a potential run of five or six of these last handful of picks be edge rushers, or defensive linemen maybe could be the entire, you know, that could be the last of it. Because Derek Harmon, too, another guy who has that round one steam, could be available. But I think with Grant still on the board, and I think with James Pierce still on the board, I think that is where they would go. Look at their depth chart, though. See what they look like on the interior and on the edge, because they're also a team that could take a chance on Pierce, knowing that their locker room, their culture, and their coaching staff can handle a guy that has, you know, maybe some prima donna labels.
Yeah, so their outside linebackers currently listed are Kyle Van Noy and Tavius Robinson, who they took in the fourth round in 2023. So they definitely need some edge help.
All right. I think if they do need edge, I think they would go Pierce over Azaraku.
Okay, what about Shamar Stewart, too, who we've kind of forgotten about?
What do they run? Because Shamar Stewart's a little bit bigger, right? I know he's an athletic freak, but he's 290 pounds, 6'6".
Yeah, I don't have his exact stats in front of me, but I know he's gone a lot higher in a lot of these mock drafts than we've had him go here. I think we just kind of forgot about him a little bit. Well, Peter Schrager has him going 29 to the Commander, so this could be a spot, too, for him. And I believe, I know McShay loves him. McShay has him like as a top 10 player. So
the Ravens typically run that 3-4 alignment. They have the fast in your ears back outside linebackers. And to me, I don't know how they pass on James Pierce if that's what they're looking to build.
Okay. So you think James Pierce then, and they don't care about any of the, his off field stuff maybe. So, okay.
Yeah. If this is a franchise that can handle that type of thing.
Okay. So we'll go James Pierce here, going 27 to the Ravens, 28 the Lions. So let's see, both safeties are still sitting here. If they wanted to go safety, or they could go edge. We already had Egbuka go, so Egbuka as like another receiver wouldn't help. I'm thinking probably pass rusher. I've always heard Azaraku is his type of guy, or would they go with the freak of Shamar Stewart?
That's the question that we have to answer, I think, is would they go freak or fit? Another potential player I've linked here a couple of times is Tyler Booker, you know, that tough, hard-nosed type of thing, guard. But I think that they need the players that's going to win them playoff games. And I don't know if a guard gets you there. I think they can kind of patch it together with a second-round guard or take someone, you know, Kendra later. One of those guys, maybe even Justin Wilson, to see if he can move to guard, or his teammate Rutledge in the second. So I don't think they go offensive line. I think you nailed it. I think it's edge rusher, and it's either Azaraku, the better fit, the better guy for the clubhouse, the culture, or do you go with the athletic freak and see if guys like Aiden Hutchinson can get him and unlock him to get that production?
Yeah, I think personally, I think they would go Azaraku from Boston College.
Let's do it. Because I think either way, I think Stewart's the next pick, right? I think we had these next two picks kind of lined up.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, they could go Tyler Booker as well, get a guard upgrade, or they could go with Shamar Stewart, who we just mentioned, So we good with Shamar Stewart here?
Yeah, I do want to bring up one last thing, because they did bring him in for a visit. they have done their homework on Omarion Hampton. And we only have one running back off the board.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility here too.
So do we go with the edge rusher or do we go with our fantasy chops and do a little something for our fantasy
game? I think they're distinctly possible. Yeah, I think a lot of these teams are going to be looking back at it in this draft of running back and just say we can get one next round or two rounds from now. Like, I just think that's going to continually happen to where we're not going to get as many running backs in round two and three as we think. And then round four is when the frenzy is going to start.
Okay. All right, so I think we made a decision. I think it's Shamar.
Okay. We'll go Shamar Stewart here to the Commanders at 29. Buffalo here at 30. Man, they could use anything. I think one of these safeties would be a home run for them to go there. Let's see. Buffalo, they have, you know, the Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin as their safety. So I think one of these safeties would be perfect for them. Either Starks, who can kind of be like their leader, or Elam Murray, who's just a stud and can play multiple kind of positions.
My only rebuttal to the safeties that there is they do have the 56th pick. So do they love one of these safeties that much more than Xavier Watts, Kevin Winston? But for the since we don't know that, I think we take the safeties, and I think we take Malachi Starks because, you know, PFF has him as a top 10 player. McShay mocked him here. It feels like there's enough of the tea leaves. Oh, no, not McShay. Schrager mocked him here. But McShay did have Malachi Starks going 27, so it seems like this is the range. I think we do Starks to the Bills.
Okay, let's go Malachi Starks here to Buffalo at 30. 31 for the Chiefs. So there's a couple different guys here. I think Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant are possibilities. I've heard more on Kenneth Grant falling than and Derek Harmon rising. I also think Arante Ursary, the offensive tackle, is definitely in play here as well.
Connerly
as well. Yep. Any of those guys, I could see them maybe even taking a defensive corner if like Trey Amos or any of those guys that they might like better. What are you thinking?
I think the pick would be Connerly over Ursary because they kind of took that developmental, big, athletic tackle last year when they took Suomi Atia. I think they would go with a little bit more fundamentally sound guy in Connerly over Ursary. I do have to bring this up because the rumor was hot all last night.
Oh, Travion.
Today was Travion Henderson. Now, it feels like the offensive lineman would be the pick, but Travion Henderson in this offense brings them an element that they haven't had since prime Kareem Hunt. Because we like Isaiah Pacheco. He runs hard, but he is not the home run hitter that Travion is.
Or Hampton's still sitting here too. Do they value Hampton over Henderson?
I would value Hampton over Henderson, but I'm going to put two things together. One, the Andy Reid call with Henderson, and two, the late helium, the late steam that McShay and others have given Travion as a first-round pick. Okay. So I would go Henderson over Hampton because of what we're hearing. If we decide to go running back, if not, the offensive line makes a ton of sense. Defensive tackles make a ton of sense. But I will say this just as a in my head, I can't get rid of it. Deion Walker to the Chiefs in round three seems like a fucking lock.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to get that kid to play at his absolute potential, it's Chris Jones, his damn near doppelganger, his stepdad.
Right.
So I don't know if they would go Grant or Derek Harmon here. They definitely could. They need it. But for me, it's Connerly, Ursary, or the fun pick, which is Henderson, the home run pick, which could be Henderson. Imagine that offense with Mahomes, Kelsey, Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Rice, and Travion.
I'm good with taking Travion here if you think he would be the play over Hampton.
I would also say this last thing about Travion. They lost to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Who, again, needed that Saquon to get over the hump. Is this their Saquon?
Right.
Travion.
Very interesting. All right, let's go Travion. All right, so 32 here. to the Eagles. They got, shocker, guys that fell right into their lap. Could they be a team that takes Hampton? I don't think so, but possibility.
Just have the nastiest running back room of all time.
Yep. Could they take Ursary, who maybe could be a Lane Jackson replacement here in a year or two? I think that's a possibility. Could they take Eagle Murray, the safety? And I mean, he's an absolute fucking stud. Mm-hmm. Or could they go Tyler Booker too? Because I believe we still have Tyler Booker available.
Tyler Booker's a nice one. I mean, Mick Shea has been singing from the rooftops, and he has a direct relationship with Howie Roseman that they love Mason Taylor.
Oh yeah, Mason Taylor. I said that a month ago, and Mike wanted to punch me in the face. So
well, yeah, I could see that. I guess Mike likes. but this is completely anecdotal. They seem like they would be a team to trade up in round two for Mason Taylor than a team to use a first round pick on Mason Taylor. Remember last year they sat back, they waited, they got Quinion, and then they waited until day two to trade up for Cooper DeJean. I think that makes more sense. But what we have done here, though, Eric, is we've played out maybe the only scenario in which they don't laugh their way to the bank, because a lot of mocks have them sitting back and getting Pierce, sitting back and getting Nolan, sitting back and getting, you know, these absolute studs, guys that are typically mocked in the top 20. We've successfully kept the defending champs away from getting a no-brainer pick. But again, still good players here. Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon make a ton of sense. The tackles make sense. Tyler Booker makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah. Let me look at their guard situation here on their depth chart real quick. So they have Tyler Steen as their right guard, 2023 third round pick, and then Landon Dickerson's on the left side. So yeah, I mean, and then they traded for Kenyon Green from the Texans, who hasn't panned out either. So they could go Tyler Booker, who is a super high character guy, like one of those, like, will run through a wall for you type of guys that everybody raves about. Like, he's just a super good character guy. And they just had Mekhi Becton there, who's this big, massive fucking guard, and that's what Tyler Booker is. So maybe Tyler Booker.
I like Booker. I'm going to make one last devil's advocate play. Out of everyone that's available for the Eagles, Eamon Worry is the type of player that they could take, and everyone go, why was this guy a top 10 pick?
Right.
How did this guy get taken in the top 10? Because he could go in this defense and just be an app. He'd just be a Super Saiyan center fielder, do a whole bunch for this defense.
That's what I've been thinking too.
It's pretty exciting. They have met with him. They have brought him on, you know, to talk to.
I think that's where
they traded away CJ or Nasty Deuce, what a CD Deucey, whatever the hell he called himself now. CJ Gardner Johnson. Let's go with Nick. I think Nick Emanuori is sick.
Shout out to Dynasty Barry Charmin Gardner Johnson for how soft he is. All right. So Nick Emanuori to the Eagles at 32. I'm good with it. I like it. Do you, let's see, we're a minute and 20 in. Do you want to hit the second round real quick, or should we stop there?
I think we could stop here. I think if not, we might be doing this pod till the actual draft starts.
Yeah. So we'll just do, let's just do the first two picks, Browns for my team, and then the Vikings. We'll give the Vikings fans their due since they didn't have somebody. So we'll do Browns real quick. Man, I think they have all kinds of options here. Could they go Jalen Milroe here or Tyler Shuck if that's who they wanted? Or do they go Connerly or Ursary, or do they go Derek Harmon and give themselves a good pass rusher up the middle? I think for me, it'd be between Harmon and probably Ursary.
I think it would be Harmon, because I think when night one concludes, everyone's going to be penciling Milroe 33. And I don't know. I just feel like
Kenneth Grant's there too. I forgot.
Yeah, I think it's Harmon or Grant. I think that's who they end up going with, is the defensive tackle, helps out the team overall. It's probably a better, smarter pick, but I think it's one of those, like, we're all going to go to bed Thursday and be like, it's Milroe tomorrow, right? Milroe tomorrow, and then it's not Milroe tomorrow, because why get a quarterback? If you're not going to take one at 2, I feel like don't take one at 33, take one in the third round. Like, why not? If you're going to take a project, take Quinn Ewers, take – you know, Kyle McCord way later. I mean, I don't think they go quarterback in round 2. I like Harmon. I like Grant. Which you're the Browns guy.
I think their defensive tackle situation is solid. They did sign Malik Collins. They have Shelby Harris, Mike Hall, who they drafted last year. So I personally would probably go with the left tackle, and that means they can move DeJuan Jones to be their swing tackle or whatnot. So I think I would go Ursary from Minnesota. I think a big guy, high RAS score, all that kind of stuff. I think that they could work with him and take Arontae Ursary.
Boom.
Okay. So we'll go Ursary there. And then the Vikings here at 34. Could they just take O'Marrion Hampton here?
I think so. I think they would take Hampton. I think they'd be elated.
Derek Harmon could be a pick too, for sure. Absolutely. They could use, so, yeah, it's tough, but do we just say for the fun of it, we just go Hampton goes here to the Vikings?
Schrager did mock Hampton going 24 to the Vikings. Let's do it.
Beautiful. All right. Hampton, it's 34 to the Vikings then. Sweet. I like it. We won't go over it, but let's get your picks here. 38 and 39 for the Patriots. Of all these guys that are left, who you think could go there? What's your dream scenario there for the Patriots for at 38 and 39?
This is actually... it's playing out quite nicely. I mean, there's a shot Tyler Booker's there, and if you could just grab yourself the two tackles, I'm all about it. I think running back, if Quinshon Judkins is there, is definitely in play. Sleeper picks, though. I think truly the one of these two picks, 38, 39, one of them will be JT Tuimoloau or Jack Sawyer. I think the connection with OSU and Vrabel will run deep.
What about Luther Burden?
Luther Burden and JT Tuimoloau would be nice.
I would personally would love Jaden Higgins there. I think that would be a really good one too. But yeah, all those guys that you said too as well. I think either of those guys could be really good.
Just another – listen, if you're Elliot Wolf, if you're listening, give the Browns a call. I mean, give the Bears a call. Let's make it happen.
Shit, hire both of us. We're helping you out here.
Yeah, we can use some jobs. I mean, I'm local, 45 minutes away.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to pay all that mileage fees and all that. There you go.
No, we're good.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for our mock draft here. Let's do America's favorite game, and then we'll end up closing this thing out here. So let's say kind of like we were just talking, though, but Patriots for you, Browns for me. What is our favorite scenarios for how we end, the draft night? Like, who are the guys that you specifically want for the Patriots with their picks as they sit right now?
Without a trade, I think I would take Kelvin Banks over Will Campbell. So I would be elated if that's the case. But if you have to make the painful pick at four, it's got to be one of these tackles. Well, they've done the research more than I have on the character of the player, the fit in the scheme, all that good stuff. So I'd be most happy if they miss out on Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, which it seems very likely. I'm very much on board with grabbing a tackle.
Okay. And then any specific guy in the second round that you'd want, that you're hoping for?
I am actually hoping for one of these edge guys to maybe slip, like I mentioned, the two Ohio State. Well, Sawyer definitely will be there, but if JT's there, that would be nice. I like Landon Jackson a ton. I think he's a good player. Also, too, with the depth at defensive tackle, if one of the big boys do fall, Derek Harmon or Kenneth Grant or TJ Sanders maybe, I think getting them in the middle with Christian Barmore, that big boy, would be very nice. I'm not really all that excited for them to take a second round running back or receiver unless one scenario pans out where Emeka Egbuka falls to them in the second round. Then I'm all about.
Okay. I think that's pretty good. For me, for the Browns, I want either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Either one I'm totally fine with, whichever way they go. So I'm good there. Then pick 33, man, I've been open to quite a few things. I really think they need a left tackle. So if there's one of the tackles falls there, that's good in our eyes, their eyes. I'm fine with that. But I think that these offensive linemen are going to get picked pretty quickly, so they might not have that spot. Ultimately, though, for like the fun factor, either Ohio State running back, Judkins or Henderson to the Browns would be awesome.
Round two, yeah.
And I might not love the prospect, but I think the upside is just tremendous. And just fucking take Jalen Milroe and just develop him.
I mean, they get abused by Lamar Jackson twice a year. I could see them wanting a player like that.
Right, exactly. And just Stefanski's a good developer of quarterbacks. You know, mostly every quarter. I mean, the guy won fucking games with P.J. Walker and DRT. Yeah. So, I mean, he can win games with lesser talent than Jalen Milroe. So Jalen Milroe would not be pressured at all to play. He could just hold the clipboard every fucking week for Flacco and Pickett. And, you know, if things don't go well towards the end of the year, maybe he finally gets in there at the end of the year. Next year, they can just, you know, tell Deshaun Watson goodbye. They do the cap hit, just eat the cap hit or whatever, or spread it out over two more years or whatever they're going to do. Get rid of him, and then Milroe is the guy going forward maybe next year, or just roll with Flacco for two more years, whatever it is. So, yeah, I think that those are my high spots. I'd love Jaden Higgins too. He's one of my favorite players in the second round. I don't know if necessarily they need him, especially after drafting Hunter. But I think, yeah, offensive line, one of the running backs, or Jalen Milroe, I think I'd be pretty happy with. Or at Jackson Dart too, I'd be fine with as well if he fell. Yeah, Shador, if they wanted to move up for Shador to like the Minnesota spot, he's my second rated quarterback, so I'd be fine with it. And he kind of fits the Stefanski system. So if they wanted to move, and you have Hunter and Shador together again.
Sick.
The dynamic duo. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be fine with that too if they did, as long as they're like not giving up an extra first or something. Like give up a second next year or whatever, I'm fine with that. Right. But don't give up an extra first to move up. So maybe that would be
Steelers. They're like, fuck you, Steelers.
Yeah, there you go. So those would be my favorite spots. Also want to go over a couple things before we get out of here. So tonight, hopefully you're listening to this show on Thursday. Tonight, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we are having our live draft stream for South Harmon on the South Harmon YouTube. So make sure you guys come and join us. So you have to be there for night one. There's going to be a code word that is said by Mike at some point, and we have a full-sized authentic helmet that'll be auctioned off, or not auctioned off, given to one of the listeners who types in the code word on Thursday night. And the raffle for that will happen on day two. So you have to be there on night one in order to win on day two, win the helmet. So as long as you say the code word that Mike says on Thursday night, you type it in the chat at any point. Mike's going to go back in the video and get all the names down. As long as you're there on day two, when we call out who the winner is and you're present, you will get that helmet. We're not going to be chasing you down. If you're not there on day two that night, we're going to go to the next name. So you're going to have to be there for both nights to join us. Also, if you do a $5 or more super chat, you get an extra entry for the helmet as well. So that's a big one. So if you, I don't know exactly who the helmet is of who, what player, but I heard it is a really, really good player that has played in the NFL. So I'm excited for that. I heard the helmet is sweet. It's an alternate helmet, I'll say that. But yeah, it's a really good player. So somebody's going to win something big. We're also giving away a bunch of other stuff too. Rookie draft guides, subscriptions to the Warp Tool. You know, there's going to be a free shirt off of the South Harmon website that you can win. A whole bunch of stuff is going to be given away over the next 3 days here from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Maddie's going to be on there. I'm on there. Mike, Adam, Koopa, Fizz, T-Rock. We're going to have some special guests at some point. Don't know the whole list yet, but we're going to have some special guests. But yeah, man, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, be there or be square, people.
Hell yeah. So do that. Warp Tool. Rookie guide, all that stuff you can get. Check out our store too. There's all kinds of cool shirts on there. I heard if you get the America's Game t-shirt, you could definitely pick up the ladies. They are definitely loving the America's Game shirt out there, so that'll help you out on your game a little bit. Yeah, man, this is a lot of fun, Matt. I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to the draft stream, looking forward to see if our picks come out true, man.
We just got 100%er here. Perfect bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, if that happens, I don't know. We definitely got to get hired by somebody.
Yeah.
But that'll be it for this week, guys. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, at South Harmon FF. He's at Maddie Keeloom on X as well. Make sure you guys give us a follow there. And we will be back next week. It'll be after the NFL draft. Probably be doing some sort of rookie mock draft with all these landing spots that we're going to get from these rookies and all that. So look forward to that episode next week. Matty, you got anything before we head on out, buddy?
No, just head over to the draft stream. Yep. Every day of the NFL draft. It's going to be a ton of fun. You want to hang out with the boys.
Yeah, we're doing every single hour, every single pick. We will be there. I'll be updating my rankings live during the stream. If you are a member of the pregame pooper tier on South Harmon, the patreon.com/South Harmon. If you are a member there, go to the pregame pooper tier. You can get the rankings. I will personally be updating my rankings during the draft with all these new landing spots of where I think they're going to be in Dynasty for me going forward. So that's always one of my favorite things to do. So make sure you guys check that out as well. But until next week for episode 92, we'll see you guys.